Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is my very first live. So we are going live from the Grind and Gratitude Show podcast. A lot of you have been tuning in over the years, and this is our very first time going live on the Grind and Gratitude Show. And I'm really excited about this segment, and it's called Budget Bites. And I'm excited because so many people right now are trying to figure out how to eat healthy on a budget, how to reduce your food costs. They have so many questions about how do I save time cooking in the kitchen for my family? And you guys are in for a treat. So I have two guests here with me. I have executive chef Rob Rainford. He's an author. He's an executive chef. He's the host of his upcoming cooking culinary show. Mr. Rob Rainford, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, as usual. Thank you.
Appreciate you. And I have the lovely, and I'm calling her lovely because she's my wife, Trudy Stone. She is a culinary nutritionist, TV guest expert, and she's also an author as well. Thank you so much for being here, Trudy.
Thanks. You forgot executive chef of the Stone household. You forgot that part.
She is the executive chef of the Stone household, everybody. I don't know how I forgot that. That's the most important part.
You should turn around now.
So thank you both for being here. I will try to keep up with the comments as best I can. But what I want everybody to understand is that this is your opportunity to ask Chef some questions, ask Trudy some questions, and really we want to tackle, give you some real tools and real things that you can apply to help you save costs, to help you in the kitchen. So I just want to pull this up real quick here because I don't have to tell any of us. I'm sure we all know that there's been an increase in food costs. Food costs have been going through the roof here. And let me just pull up this statistic here because I think we need to see this. So the average family of four is expected to spend $16,297.20 on food in 2024. And that's an increase of up to $701.79 from last year, which is an increase of $1,065 in 2023. So we know that, you know, food costs are increasing, right? Our grocery prices are gone up 6.9% year over year. This is no surprise to anybody who is in charge of, you know, your family grocery bill. You all know this. We all know this. So what I want to ask both of you are, like, what are some budget-friendly foods that everyone should have in their fridge? Let's start with you, Chef.
You know what? I always say have whole chickens because, again, you can take them down. You can have legs. You can have thighs. You can have breasts. You can play around with it. Salmon or, you know, even cheaper fish that are out there on the market right now. But literally go out, bargain hunt, because there are places that you can go that food is not, it's always going to be expensive at this point. So that's, you know, shrinkflation, where you're just getting less but paying more for it, which is even worse because you're looking at the package and now you're saying, wow, this is less than it is and more expensive. But if you're able to utilize everything, and I like to go with zero waste in my house, but again, that's almost impossible. But what I do is, you know, again, onion skins, tomato peels, whatever it is, you know, I dehydrate them and I try to incorporate them into meals that I'll cook during the week. So again, for me, it's just about going out and figuring out what your family really likes to eat. Because you can get ground beef and you can take ground beef and go in so many different directions. You can do the hamburger helper, you can do a burger, you can do a chili, you know, you can play with it and you can make a taco. So there's so many different things you can do with it.
Yeah, I like that about ground beef. We definitely, in our household, you know, that's a staple that we have because you're right. It's a very versatile meat that we can use. Yeah. Trudy, what about you? What are some things that, you know, some staple foods that people can have that are pretty versatile they should have in their fridge?
Yeah, those are definitely some great ones that Rob mentioned. I would also say, yeah, ground turkey. I love ground turkey. Dan, you're more on the beef tip. I'm more on the turkey tip in this household.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I love ground turkey. Similar to what Chef Rob said, I love making a turkey chili with it, which is what I'm doing right now in my Instant Pot. So as soon as this live is done, dinner is done. I'll do like stuffed peppers with some ground turkey. You could put the ground turkey on top of rice. I might add like some salsa on top of it. Even chicken breasts. Like I know chicken breasts aren't the most budget friendly staple, but if you're cutting it up into like strips or pieces and using it in things like fajitas, like on CityLand the other day, I did stress-free sheet pan dinners, and one of them was fajitas. So you just cut up the chicken into slices, throw some bell peppers on the baking sheet along with some mushrooms or whatever else, what other vegetables you like, and just throw it into a fajita. So not only does your money go farther, you have a delicious dish that's ready in no time and one sheet. So you're not dirtying up all the different things in your kitchen. So I kind of like meals that check all the boxes, fair, as you can see.
Fair.
No, that's good. That's good.
Can I add one more to that? For the plant-based people in the house. Of course, beans and lentils are go-tos as well. I do a mix of canned beans, and then I also do like dried beans and chickpeas and that sort of thing. I find that if I get like a bag of dried chickpeas, and I'm sure Chef Rob, you can attest to this. If I get a bag of dried chickpeas, and if I make them in my Instant Pot or make them on the stove, they taste so much better than the canned stuff. And I actually think your dollar goes farther when you buy like a big bag of chickpeas versus like these multiple cans of chickpeas that cost maybe $1 something each.
Again, that it's a great, there's two schools of thought here, because again, the dried stuff takes time. Because now you have to soak it. And again, now it's meal planning, meal prepping, and making sure that, these meals are going to be made in sequence. The cans allow you to come home from work and actually put something on the table relatively quickly. So again, the trade-off for me is, expediency in terms of I can come home and get something done, or if I'm really prepping ahead, then I can soak those and I can get those done later on in the day. So it's six of this, half a dozen of the other. But I understand from a budget perspective, it's really important that people go out and buy the things that are most effective, and the dried is way more effective.
And for that reason, Rob, like you're absolutely right. That's why I have both. I have like a couple of canned chickpeas, and then I also have the dry ones just in case. Like, I don't know how I'm going to feel when I get home, right? And how much work I'm going to want to put into it.
Oh, that's tough for everybody.
Yeah.
There was a question from Vantage Point. He said, is it better to get your meat from a butcher? Or I think that was the question. Better from a butcher as opposed to a big grocery store. What do you both think about that?
You go ahead, Judy. I'll answer after.
Oh, no, you're going to make me go first. You know what? I think it's just personal preference. I also think it's like the cuts of meat that you're looking for, because I know there's certain cuts of meat that you can't get in the grocery store versus going to a butcher, or maybe they'll cut it in a different way that you like versus, if you go to the grocery store and just buy it in bulk. So I would say it comes down to personal preference. I don't know what you would say, Sean.
All righty. I just want you to go first because I want you to feel bad. Now.
Mission accomplished.
I love it.
Ultimately, a butcher is the best way to go. Because again, you're getting in whole cows and you're taking them down, and people are able to go in and sort of purchase what they need. Okay. But now anything that's wrapped in cellophane has been there a while. You don't know the age of that. It's how long it's been there. Mm-hmm. So those are things that you have to take into consideration as well. The fact that you're able to have a conversation with your butcher and them giving you inexpensive or cheaper cuts of meat, where you can do pretty much the same thing. Okay. So there's like a tri-tip muscle on a cow that really acts like a flank steak. And again, or a fat grilling steak. There's so many different things and applications that you can get into when you start talking to a butcher. Again, even with your fishmonger, if you're going into fish or anything, like, always go to the source. If you can possibly go to the source, it's obviously better. But most people go to grocery stores. I assume that out of 10 people, 9 are going to go to a grocery store. If you have enough money that you can go to a butcher, again, you're having great conversations and you're able to really start picking out things that are just a little cut above where you usually would go. I always recommend go to a butcher if you can. But if you can't, go in there and look for deals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. That's good information. And I think, when we're talking about on a budget, yeah, it's great to have a relationship with a butcher. But like you were saying, like sometimes you just have to go to the grocery store and look for you know, those cuts of meat that maybe are more affordable for your family and that stretch a lot further. Lovemore said beans, like beans can go a long way. You know, she was saying that a bag of beans can go a long way and it's much cheaper.
100%, 100% on that. But again, the can gives you the convenience. So you want, one has to always trade off. I thought about this last night that we use the word fast food or food done fast. Right. Fast food, we have, it denotes, and the connotation is that you have to go to the one of the big four, you know, the McDonald's, and the, you know, let's not get sued by anyone, but you know, something fast. That's not necessarily obviously going to be healthy for you. Is it worth a treat once in a while? Yeah. But if you're going to blow $50 on maybe four sandwiches, two fries, and a drink, you could take that same $50 and go get yourself two chickens, or
100%.
Go to Costco, you grab three whole chickens and make something out of that. So for me, the trade-off is, what are you willing to sacrifice? Because you can't have them both. And I want to be honest with everybody. If you've watched me on Instagram, you can see that I do a lot. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen. Okay, whether I'm at work or whether I'm at home, I spend a lot of time. And the reason I do that is because I'm cooking restaurant quality meals for the one that I love the most. Do you hear that, honey? Anyhow, guys. But I'm just trying to get a point here, people. Just one. All right, shut it down. Anyhow, but I love making sure that when I present this plate to somebody, that's my love, that's my attention, and it's my profession. It's what I do. It's how I show love to people, by cooking for them.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great.
I love that.
So Nicole asked, tips for cooking raw beans.
Raw beans, basically soak them if they're raw. Like in terms of, you're talking dehydrated beans, kidney beans, chickpeas, lentils, all of the above. You're going to have to soak them the night before. They rehydrate themselves. So when you're able to get them into a pot, now you can actually speed up the process as opposed to trying to come home and cook a bean from start to finish. You're not going to get that done in 2 hours. That's the unfortunate truth.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I got an Instant Pot, just so I could skip that step of having to soak beans. Because sometimes I don't remember to soak them the night before. I don't remember to soak them hours before. So I'll just toss them in the Instant Pot and it cuts down the cooking time in like half, because the Instant Pot's a pressure cooker. So if you don't want to soak your beans, if you just want that kind of, I don't want to say luxury, because it's not really a luxury, but if you don't want to soak the beans, I would say get an Instant Pot. And I would say get one anyways, and I'm in no way affiliated with Instant Pot whatsoever. I just love it because I'm a bit of a lazy cook sometimes. I just like to throw everything in there and then just like walk away and don't have to think about it. And that's what the Instant Pot's able to do for me. So
interesting. Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. Yeah. I would never, you know, I would never use it, but I mean, I
no, right. You're a chef. Like, yeah, you don't want the shortcut tools.
The reason I say that is because when the Instant Pot came out, I was given one and I looked at it. I you know, even the air fryer before it came out to the normal market, I looked at it and I'm like, you know what? Throw this shit away, man. Like, come on, people. You know, what are we talking about here? Because again, you know, it just depends on your mindset, because a pressure cooker is really good for getting meat cooked very quickly. So again, it's going to break down those fibers, but nothing will translate in terms of a braise that's going to take 3.5 to 4 hours. That texture and that feel, that mouth appeal, that umami that we talk about a lot in the culinary industry, that's not going to be achieved, but it will be softened. But again, it really depends on who you're cooking for, right? I have discerning palates in my house now, because my kids, you know, oh, daddy, medium rare steak, please. And I told you this the last time, you know, Danny, that, you know, when I was young, mom said, hey, meal's on the table, man. You don't like it? Go, you can sit here while we all eat and you can have nothing. So you had a choice, you know, starve or eat it.
Well, I think that leads us to something, because, you know, Trudy, you talked about the pressure cooker, and, you know, I got to pull this up, because a lot of people say, look, I don't know how to cook. I don't have time to cook. Right. And so I just wanted to kind of pull this up, because where was it? This was a really interesting stat about people not cooking. Yeah. According to Stats Canada, 54% of Canadians eat out once a week or more. And 40% of those folks say they eat out for convenience. They have no time to cook. They don't like to cook, or they don't know how to cook. So Trudy, you started to touch on, you know, some of the things, but what can people do to save time in the kitchen that kind of speeds up their time so they don't have to be in the kitchen cooking all day, every single day?
Yeah, I would say one pot meals and sheet pan dinners. Like whenever I'm busy, if I'm doing back-to-back stuff, if it's like TV stuff, if it's speaking engagements, I know that that week I have to go into the week with a plan. I can't come home and expect to cook because it's just not going to happen. I'm going to go across the street. I'm going to A&W. I'm getting the onion rings. So I know I have to plan ahead. So I plan ahead with sheet pan dinners. Like I'll just throw, like I said earlier, I throw everything on the baking sheet and just toss it in the oven. And then boom, like half an hour later, I have like a full meal. So I'll do like, I did fajitas. You can do chicken ones. You can do like portobello mushroom if you're plant-based. I did gyros on there as well. I always pronounce that word wrong. But you know what I'm talking about. Gyros. So yeah. I put that on there. I did salmon. I did like a honey mustard salmon. I put salmon, potatoes, asparagus on there. And again, a meal in 30 minutes. I love the Instant Pot, as I mentioned earlier, but I like that it's also a slow cooker too. So depending on how much time I have, I might throw everything in there in the morning and then just let it cook long and slow for like 5-6 hours, like I'm doing right now with the chili that's cooking. So I'm a fan of that. I just like just putting everything in one pot, putting everything on a sheet pan if I'm really, really busy. If I have a little bit more time, a little bit more flexibility, maybe I'll do something a little bit more fancy. But for the most part, when I'm trying to save time, those are my go-to meals. And for those people who say, I don't have time to eat healthier, you need to do a time audit. You need to look at how you're spending your time and just look at one thing that you can cut out of your schedule to give you back 30 minutes of your time. And there's something in there, because if you're sitting there watching TV shows back to back to back to back, The Circle, if you're like me, one of my favorite shows, or whatever your favorite show might be, if you're sitting down watching back to back marathons of Downton Abbey or whatever you're watching, you have some time on your schedule to make a meal. You have some time on your schedule to increase your longevity, to prevent disease. So don't tell me you don't have enough time. It's what can I do with the time that I have?
You're right. Priorities. Most people prioritize other things. It's hard talking to non-cooks as well, because as you said, the Instant Pot is kind of the new version of the slow cooker, which was the crock pot back in the day. I'm assuming people used to put on something in the morning, and at least you're able to come home and eat. For me, it's meal planning around, and when I have busy weeks as well, and the dinner at Rainford's gets canceled a lot because of work, on the day that I have off, I will spend that day cooking and making sure that I put everything in a Ziploc or in a Tupperware or freeze it, and then we can pull things out as we need it. So we're always eating at least something healthy, something green, a starch, and a protein.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, that's the other thing. It's like creating parts of meals. Sometimes you don't have to make like the recipe from like A to Z. You could just create parts of it, right? So I talked about earlier, the chickpeas. I'll make those in the Instant Pot. I'll make a big batch, and then I'll just put them in Ziploc bags and I'll just freeze them. So I'm just taking out what I need as I grow throughout the week or even weeks, depending on how much I make. Same thing with quinoa, same thing with roasted vegetables. And then I'll just assemble and mix and match things throughout the week. So I'm not always eating the same thing. There's a little bit of variety there. And I'm saving a lot of time, too.
Well, no, you know that most people eat the same thing relatively. If you were to do a meal charting plan for anybody, you can see it's chicken one day, a taco Tuesday, or, meatless Monday, whatever it is. You can see people are trending towards eating the same thing. But variety is the spice of life. So, try to mix it up as much as you can. And I know I'm speaking from a chef's perspective. So, again, discount half of what I've said, people.
It's helpful. So hold on. My mom's in here. My mom said, Marcia Stone, one pot dinners are better. She also said, so what about cutting up peppers, onions, etc., and freezing them? What do you both think about that?
Okay, certain items can be frozen and brought back to life. Other items don't respond as well. So if you're putting a frozen pepper into a stew, that's okay. But if you're putting a frozen pepper into a stir fry, not as good. So, and again, just the chef perspective, please again, is there a disclaimer above my head?
I'll put a disclaimer after Rob said.
No, I agree with you.
Tell Mom I said, I love you. You raised a great son. You got a great daughter. Okay, Mom. Please forgive me if I said anything.
No, you're right, Chef Rob, because I froze bell peppers before and I put them in a stir fry and they're like mushy and it just was not a good situation. I was like, I will never do this again.
Oh, so no, you're absolutely right. Molecular structure is done. Once you freeze it, it binds and then they just literally separate and go to mush. Everybody should know that. And if you don't know, as Biggie said, now you know.
Victory Speaks, Nicole said, is there a cookbook, Trudy?
The pressure, Nicole, the pressure.
she also said this. She said, however, there are those of us that are caregivers and time is our enemy. So we really need assistance. So, Nicole, and everybody else watching too, I think Trudy and I, we have these spurts where we actually do meal prep and then we fall off track. But meal prep, you know, we used to take Sundays and we would plan out our meals for the week and sometimes even our lunches. And we would take 3 hours and make all of our meals for the week. And so for us, like, especially like when I was really busy with work and Trudy was doing a lot of stuff, it was so helpful because all of our meals were done. And so if you could just take 3 hours on whatever day you're free, map out the meals that you want to make. And here's where here's where those foods that Rob and Trudy were talking about. Get a bunch of chicken breasts or chicken legs, get a bunch of ground beef and think of 3 or 4 different meals that you can make for your family. And then you prep all of the meals and you cook all of the meals on a Sunday or a Monday or whatever day you're free. And I'll tell you, you know, on those couple of months that Trudy and I, we get on track for a few months and then we fall off, but it saves us so much time. Like to just be able to go into the fridge, open up a container and heat up that food in a few pots, it just saves us so much time. So, you know, for those of you who say, I don't have time, you know, think about meal prep. Think about taking one day, mapping out your meals for the week or your lunches for the week and making them all in one day. Think about getting something like an Instant Pot. Now, I know Chef is a chef, but an Instant Pot where you can just throw everything in one pot and you know, in 3, 4, 5 hours, your food is ready. Or a pressure cooker, right? Air fryers. You know, again, I'm not really fans of all of these things, but I'm trying to help people come up with ways to that they don't have to be in the kitchen all the time and they can save time. So those are just a few things that, you know, I've done, Trudy, we've done that have saved us a lot of time.
I feel like it's 2 against 1 here.
No.
Not at all.
Another comment here from Vantage Point. He said, from cooking for twins for many years, I can say Asian and Mexican cuisines really good meals done quickly.
100%. 100%. And you know what? Prepared sauces and prepared items that you can now mix and match are perfect for families like that. I can't tell you how many times I've come home and just whipped up a stir fry. You know, yes, I've cut everything on the bice and I've done everything like that. But again, you don't even have to do it that way. Just get it into a pot, toss, old rice. You know, people are talking about, oh, you can't eat rice that's been in the fridge for a day. Through that, okay, people? If it's 4 degrees, it's safe. It's not in the danger zone. Once it comes out of the fridge, you don't want to leave anything from 4 degrees to 140 degrees Fahrenheit out in the danger zone for 4 hours. I'm just giving you a little bit of a lesson here because I taught food theory for many, many years. That's when it's unsafe. But if it's in your fridge, you're good for 3 to 4 days for sure. Toss that with some vegetables. You know, you guys can buy those vegetables, the mixed ones in the bag. They have the carrot, the onion, what are they? Because I don't use them personally. But anyhow, I know I'm thinking here. Corn, carrot, and
like
peas.
Snap peas or something like that. Yeah.
You just toss that. You got yourself a stir fry, a little bit of soy sauce, some ginger. You're done, man. You know, there's so many things you can do out there, man. Food doesn't have to be arduous. I hate people that turn it into everything like fine dining. Real life, not fine dining. Okay,
I agree.
Real life is down and dirty and eating. Okay,
yes,
licking your fingers and moving on to the next thing.
Yes,
it up and going on, man.
100%.
Yeah.
So, Lovemore said, "I make soups, chili, stews, and freeze them and enjoy them later." So, I mean, I think all of us have kind of done that, but that's something that a lot of people might not do, right? They might not make a big batch of something and then just freeze it and heat it up later. So that's a great tip.
Great tip.
Victory Speaks Nicole said, now the sausage chef, where can we find the recipes for the sauces? So she's thinking about, okay, we talked about the different types of, you know, meat or protein or vegetables that we could have. You talked a little bit about some sauces. Like, what are some kind of go-to sauces that people should have or can make for different types of meat?
Okay, for me personally, and I'm going to be very frank here. From time to time, we buy that Costco chicken. I bring it home, break it down. Well, I don't take it home, but somebody brings it. We break it down. I make a chicken stock out of it. Mm. I have bones in my fridge from meats that I've used, and then I'll roast them off. So I kind of have like a base of a red wine sauce always. I always have some chicken sauce. And then I basically now, you know, chimichurri. So if you have parsley and cilantro and you have olive oil and you have some onions, you know, shallots or whatever. It doesn't have to be fancy, okay? And all you do is grind that up. So you can chop it by hand or you can put them into those little RoboCoupes or into a blender. You've got yourself a quick and down and dirty sauce that goes over top of a meat or a fish or a veg. It doesn't matter. You know, you can, in my house, whatever we're having, I've already got it mapped out in my head how, well, this goes with a beurre blanc. A beurre blanc is a classic French sauce. And all we've been talking about here, pot au feu, which is a pot on the fire, one pot meal. Everybody does this from Escoffier all the way down to us. We are now still, we're not reinventing the wheel, people. Nothing is new on the planet. Yeah. The configurations might be slightly varied, but again, back to the comment about Asian cuisine, Indian cuisine, South Asian cuisine, all of these things can be made with what you have at home. Now, will it be truly authentic? And that's my problem with a lot of people. If it's not completely authentic, I can't have it. Bullshit. Go out. Enjoy it. Don't worry. Modify it to your palate. Because you may not like certain herbs. You may not like certain things. Cilantro was an enemy of mine before I was a culinary student. Enemy. Mm. I smelt it. I tasted it. I'm like, this is soap. I don't want to eat no soap. Oh, you know?
I love cilantro.
Now I can't live without it. You know, now is it an acquired taste or is it just I learned how to deal with it on my palate? And again, introducing new things, try new things. This is how life should be.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, one of the things that we're going to talk a little bit about, and my mom, Marcia Stone, she just brought this up as well. She said, I think I waste most things because I don't store them properly. So what would you both say about like storing your food so that you can get the maximum amount of life out of those foods? Like how should people be storing maybe foods in the fridge or, you know, what would you both say?
I think you can answer this because you're a nutritionist.
I would say like the way that you store your foods definitely can increase or decrease the shelf life. So for example, herbs is something that I keep hearing again and again that people waste. What I like to do, and I'm just going to show you. I got props. I got some show and tell this evening, ladies and gentlemen.
You can't prop?
All right.
You can go get some props, Rob. Go get some.
So you get them from the grocery store. You got your parsley, your cilantro. You get them from the grocery store. You're packing in the fridge, right? Don't just put it right in the fridge in the back. What I want you to do is I want you to wrap it. Wrap it in something. I don't know if you guys can see that. Wrap it in a paper towel. Wrap it in a cloth. Get it nice and snuggled up in there. And then you want to throw it in your bag. And then you want to put it in the fridge. Okay, because I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but whenever you buy herbs, right, maybe a week goes by and they're all brown and they're black and they're mushy. I hate that. So by just putting the paper towel around it or a cloth, putting it back in the bag, you're going to get at least another week out of your herbs that way. So for anybody who's wasting herbs, stop doing that. Try this tip. I'm telling you, it really will change your life. And then this.
That's a good one.
I got one more. This one right here. Has this ever happened to anybody out there? Right? Look at this. You got an onion growing out of your onion, right? This happens when you store your onions next to your potatoes. So stop storing onions next to potatoes, because then they're going to start sprouting. Your onions will start sprouting. Your potatoes will start sprouting, and then you're going to lose your potatoes. Potatoes, I saw a stat, and Rob, you might know this one. Over 2 million potatoes are wasted like every month or something like that. Canadians waste. Something crazy storage. Like that. Improper storage. There's so many things you can do with potatoes. They have a long shelf life. There's no excuse to be throwing them out without getting through them, guys. It all comes down to how you store things.
I agree. Root vegetables, like a potato, are stored in a cool, dry place.
Period. Yeah.
I do have a prop now.
Oh, look at that. There's a prop.
Everyone. And I mean you people. All right. A tomato should never be stored in the fridge. Should always be at room temperature. Bananas, again, you can take the ends wet, wrap them, and that will keep their life for a little bit longer. So that'll last an extra 4 to 5 days. If you just put a damp towel over the or what are these things called? Paper towels.
Paper towel. Okay. I like that one.
Avocados not in your fridge. Onions never in your fridge. Again, your ginger never in your fridge. Again, mold. People don't understand that there's a dichotomy. There's so many things going on in your fridge that you don't know about. Okay, the crisper, it's a humidifier. Okay. That's why when you put your herbs in there, they start to sweat because they're releasing all these gases, okay? Right. And you don't need that. So again, cool, dry places. Everybody's got a kitchen. I don't care if you live in a one-bedroom apartment or a bachelor. There are spaces that you can use and utilize them properly. And, you know, Wayfair is just what I need. Okay, get yourself one of those cabinets and start playing around with this. Hey, Kelly Clarkson, I could do a commercial too, you know.
Right. I forgot about that.
No, that's good. That's good. Somebody, I think Nicole asked, can you freeze herbs?
Yes and no, depending on what you're going to do with them. Now, if you've watched me, and I hope everybody that's here, get onto Instagram and look at a couple of my stories. I've actually been playing around with dehydrating things. Again, if you dehydrate your herb, okay, so if you put it in the freezer and you said, okay, I can't use this, and you just put them into a... again, what you can do is now you can turn them into dust, you can turn them into powders, and you can now start sort of mixing and matching, and like that chili you have, and you have some dried herbs that you did yourself. You can put them in there. You can plop them in. But generally, if you freeze an herb, you're going to crystallize it. And once you bring it back to temperature, it's just going to turn into mush. So generally speaking, I try not to do that application. But if you do want to use it, dehydrate them. Simple. It's a simple solution.
No, that's great. Lovemore said, save your pineapple skins. It makes great sauces. Save the insides of bell peppers, freeze them, and makes great sauce / gravy as well. That's what Lovemore said.
All righty. I'm going to have to, I want to see that one. Show me. Where are they?
Marcia Stone said, someone said you can use olive oil and herbs and store it in ice cube trays.
Yes, you can. Yes, okay. 100%. And remember, olive oil at room temperature is free-flowing. Once you put it into a cool environment of 4 degrees and down, or 18 degrees for your freezer, it will set up on you. So you can now use that block and take it and put it into something and let it melt back. Yes, 100%. Mm.
This is great. Let me pull this up real quick here. Let me see. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, healthy eating. So it says nearly half of Canadians are eating less healthy foods due to soaring prices. Similarly, rising food prices in Canada have reached their highest rates in almost half a century, which could have a serious impact on Canadians' health. So how can people eat healthier on a budget? How can we do that? Now, you guys kind of touched on some of these things already, but like, what other things can people do to eat healthier on a budget?
I think, Chef Rob made a good point earlier. He talked about, making things that you actually like to eat, right? Like, don't just make something because you hear it's healthier. Just, is this really what you want to eat, right? So where I start with people is, what are your favorite meals? Whether it's, Chinese food, whether it's Indian food, what are your favorite meals? And what's one or two swaps that we can make to make that meal healthier at home? So you're saving money, you're not ordering out, and you're making something that's a little bit healthier, right? So that's usually where I start with people. I start there. And I also encourage people to know their budget, because a lot of people want to save money. They know that food costs are high, but do you know where you're at right now in terms of your budget? You're just saying it's expensive, but like, what's your budget? So start going back and looking at your grocery bills. Start seeing how much money you're spending on groceries every week, every 2 weeks, or how often you go grocery shopping. And then just to see, determine how much money you want to save on your grocery bill. Just start there. You have to have awareness of where you're starting with so that you can know where you want to go, right? So that you can be consistent in saving that money. The other thing I like to do is I like to make a game of it. Like, I like to make saving money a sport, and I have fun with it. So Danny's like, oh God, here we go.
Let's hear the sport, man. Let's hear the sport.
So a couple weeks ago, I wanted some strawberries because I was doing a TV segment and I needed strawberries for my setup. The strawberries were $6.99. I said, ain't no way I'm paying $6.99 for a little thing of strawberries. So I went into this app called Flip, and I saw there was another grocery store that had the strawberries on sale for $3.99. And I'm like, well, I'm not about to go over to that other grocery store. I'm going to see if these people will price match for me. So I brought up the app with the $6.99 strawberries, showed it to the cashier, and I said, look, this other grocery store has these strawberries for $3.99. Can you match this price? She's like, sure, no problem, ma'am. Just like that. Cut the price of the strawberries in half. So that's what I say. Like, I love to make it a game. I love using price matching to save money at the grocery store. And in fact, that's usually how I build my grocery list or how I build my meal plan list. It's like, I'll look at the flyers, I'll see what foods are on sale, and I'll build my grocery list and I'll build my meal prep from that list. Right. So that way I'm not buying things that are ridiculously expensive. I also try to not buy things that are not in season if I possibly can. Like, someone talked about pineapples earlier. I love pineapples, but I'm reluctant to buy them at certain times of the year because, they're not in season, right? So they're not in season. They're not going to have the same amount of nutrients anyways, number one. And then number two, they're like, two times the price if you were to buy it, let's say, in the summertime, right? So that's just a couple of tips that I use. But have fun with it. Saving money, being on a budget, it sucks. But have fun with it. Just when you go to the grocery store, you're able to pull up that app and show, just have a little laugh inside.
yeah,
I know. I do. Good.
Chef, what tips can you add that kind of help people eat healthier on a budget?
It's difficult, but it's not insurmountable because, again, canned tuna. If you add some celery, some onions, and some peppers, and you make yourself a tuna salad sandwich, great. Tuna casseroles you can use. Again, it really depends on your palate and what you like to eat. I have never been a fan of telling people what to eat. I can show you what I eat myself personally. The other night I came home from work, dead tired. I didn't eat all day, really. And you know what? I had some Raisin Bran. So I opened up my cereal box and I poured some milk and I ate it. Somebody online asked me, whoa, you show all these great meals. I go, you know what? Chefs are notorious for being the worst eaters on the planet. That's why McDonald's was invented, for chefs. You know what I mean? Because you want to shove something in your mouth because you've forgotten to eat all day. It is what it is. But I always tell people it's really apparent that if you know what you like, then you can always stock your pantry properly. But if you're one of those people that are just flighty and you're on, you're scrolling on TikTok all the time and, I like this, I like that, you'll never have those ingredients to make that right away.
Right.
So
right.
Again, it still goes back to planning. I see a lot. Nobody's on TikTok more than me. I love that thing. I'll just scroll and scroll. I see all these great ideas and people dealing my ideas. I don't care. I love it, man. It's the way it should be.
Louis asked a question, and Bob kind of alluded to this, and so did you a little bit, Trudy. What does a $10 healthy meal look like for two people?
Nothing. You're going to starve. You're going to die. All right. That's a
can. Oh, my God.
That's a can of tuna for two people, $10. Come on. In this economy, where we are, 2024, what's today? It's the 22nd. You can't get a lot for $10 anymore. Legitimately, unless it's summertime and you're growing some food in your backyard. So if you're planting some beans and you're planting some, you know, some carrots and stuff like that, you might be able to get away with something like that. But for $10, you couldn't even get a Big Mac, large fries.
Well, I have an idea, but go ahead, Trudy. Go ahead, Trudy.
Well, I mean, I think, like, I don't know if he's asking like $10 per person. Is that what
No, because he's saying $10 for two people.
For two people.
Oh, yeah.
Be honest. Two people. You got to be honest here.
So here's what I'll say. And you guys are the experts. But first of all, you know, we've already talked about this. Cooking at home, having an at-home meal is going to be healthier than any fast food, right? Like it's going to be healthier than you going out to any fast food restaurant. So, okay, there's different levels of healthy. Cooking something at home is going to be better than you going out eating a fast food restaurant. So what I would say for me, and, you know, having grown up in low income housing and had to figure out how to stretch things, I think a bag of rice and maybe some ground beef.
$10, you said. Let's be honest here, man.
But the ground,
what kind of bag of rice you buy?
And the ground beef is like, what, $7 or $8?
Yeah, that's it. Like, okay.
No onions? You're not going to throw some onions on that at least? Or
Yeah.
No spices?
Yeah. So I would say between $10 and $20, you could get, you know, maybe some peppers, maybe some rice, some ground beef or a small piece of chicken or a stir fry.
What kind of chicken you getting? You can't buy a chicken leg by itself. You know that, correct?
Okay.
I want to be honest. Go ahead.
What about this is not like a meal. Could be lunch. What if you did like a chickpea salad wrap? So you get a can of chickpeas, right? You buy some celery, tortilla.
Like one stalk of celery? I'm going to hang you guys up.
Let's
work with $20. So if you have $20.
So one egg. All right. Are you going to make the mayo yourself?
Oh, man. We're not really selling the case on budget-friendly eating, are we?
No.
I think $10 was the kicker.
$10, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because even in my work life, okay, I have people that come to me and they say, listen, man, I got 650 people. And here's my budget of $20 per person. Well, now you've just excluded 3/4 of my menu. Okay. I can put something together for you, but it has to be realistic. I think no matter what you say, and no matter what anyone will say in this conversation right now, there are ways to accomplish $10, but what are you going to put into your system? All right. Mm-hmm. And will it be as healthy as possible? Is at the best quality as possible? I mean, maybe you have to talk to Galen Weston here, man. You know, maybe he can cut into some of his process.
Yeah. Right? Nicole's Lovemore said, I stretch my protein by complementing expensive proteins by adding eggs, beans, tofu, etc. With two chicken breasts for the week. So that's one of the things that she does.
Great.
I like that. That sounds good, too. I like that.
Whoever you are, what's her name?
That's Chef Lovemore. She's a former chef, Lovemore.
I could tell.
Vantage Point said, we need to normalize healthy. It isn't the same as organic, which are consistently marketed. Healthy doesn't have to mean expensive. And I think that's the point that maybe, you know, Louis was saying, and I'm trying to make as well. Healthy doesn't have to be expensive. Now, you both kind of touched on some foods that you should have in your cupboard or your kitchen or your fridge, like beans and maybe some ground beef and
dried pasta. Okay, dried pasta will last you farfalle, you know, penne, you know, rigatoni. You can have dried pasta around and literally that costs you probably 7 cents a portion, okay, if you're going to really break it down for per box. All right. Now, what are you going to put with that? Now, maybe it's just vegetables in this situation and not a chicken breast or a chicken thigh or something of that nature. So there are ways to circumvent the you know, the $10 item that we were talking about briefly here. But for me personally, my pantry has all of the staples. If there was an apocalypse tomorrow, we could live off of the, you know, I'd be grilling a lot of stuff. You know, and I would be definitely using up all the dried things that I have in my pantry downstairs.
And I think that's a good lesson. You know, Nicole said, unfortunately, lots of people's reality is $10 a day or less. So I think what you just said, Rob, you know, pasta and pasta sauce is something that is relatively low cost that, you know, should be a staple in a lot of people's fridges or cupboards. Rice, like you said, dried goods are things that we should have in our cupboard that are relatively low cost, have a long shelf life, and you can continue to cook those things at a lower cost, right?
And hear this one. I hope everybody understands this. Most people have the staples, okay, which is flour, okay, water or milk, okay, because I know still bread, is there's no tax on it, and I know this, you know, eggs and milk. If you can make a dumpling, okay, I'm going back to my West Indian roots now, okay? Because, you know, we had five kids in our family, and haute cuisine wasn't on the menu. So, again, we were definitely, you know, my wife's Italian. Everybody knows that. So, again, they can make a quick pizza out of nothing, right? Some flour, some yeast, you know, put a few toppings on there, some cheese. You're done. That's a meal. But West Indians, now, you know, again, I told you, I'm making patties, okay? But it's a process, okay? Because now I got to do the dough got to relax, I got to laminate the dough, I got to make my filling, there's so many things going on. But I put some chicken in the oven and I had jerk chicken for dinner, right? Mm. White rice, didn't do rice and peas, and some corn. Again, you can make things out of nothing. I just think it's that most people's, their imagination is so limited because I put the restriction of time. I put the restriction of cost. I put the restriction of, I don't know how to do that. There is a thing called the internet, people. I use it. I'm old. All right. I'm telling you, right. I'm looking right at you. Okay. I'm old and I still, my thumbs work, but my hand is kind of hurting because, you know, that you can't hold your phone forever. But just Google it. YouTube. You can find just about anything you want. Every recipe that I can ever think of, it's out there. Just start playing. Don't forget to play. That's the thing that most people forget. The kitchen is a place to go and play.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think, I love that. You know, low-cost things like tuna, like pasta, like rice, really those dried things.
And dumpling.
Dumpling. make your own dumpling. Those are all great things. Vantage Point said growing at home needs to become more of a thing. And I think like really eating at home, you know, teaching people that you can actually save money by cooking at home, but you can have quick and healthy meals. I think that's the thing. You know, a lot of people say they don't have time to cook. But what's the flip side of that, right? What's the other side of that? If you don't have time to cook, you're eating unhealthy. It's going to have long-term effects. And we know that some people are, you know, there are a lot of people that are on a budget or on a fixed income. And so these are some of the foods that should be staples in your cupboards. And like Rob said, it really depends on your taste buds and stuff like that. But we already talked about beans and legumes. We talked about corn. We talked about different cans of tuna and fish. We talked about pasta. We talked about rice. And then obviously some types of vegetables that you can get in there, even if it's a mixed greens that you can just make a salad or something like that, some broccoli. These are all things that, you know, we try to encourage people to have at home in the fridge and the cupboards. And there are things that you can whip up really quickly. Like Rob said, go to the internet, Google, what can I make with some tuna, you know, some pasta and
$10. Do it.
I was actually doing that as we were talking.
I'm on my phone, so I can't Google right now.
But well, here we go. I'm gonna do it. Here we go. My brother MJ said, two cans of tuna at Dollarama, a bag of rice at Dollarama, and a can of Vic's mixed veggies.
Yep.
That's 10 bucks right there.
Okay. There you go. There you go. See, it can work. It can work. And when you buy that stuff, buy them in a little bit of bulk, especially like the tuna. They're not going to go off, right? Again, you don't want to keep them there for 5 years, but come on. A year is not a problem with tuna, okay? Canned tuna. You're good, all right? And you can play around with it. I remember back in the day, man, you know, you add some tomatoes and some onion to canned tuna, okay? So almost like treating it like a mackerel. You remember all the stuff in a can back in the day because you low-income housing person? You know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of stuff like that you can play around with and make taste great. White rice, basmati rice, you know, it doesn't matter. There's so many things out there that people, and again, we're using a flavor profile that sort of kind of works for us. But the South Asian, man, there's so many things that you can put into a pot, like you said, now, and cook it slowly and have a wonderful, tasty meal. Like, it is what it is out there, people.
Here's another good question from Vantage Point. He said, is there a cooking method, baking method, grilling, frying, etc., that consistently can save money no matter the type of cuisine?
A grilling method that can, again, here's a great example that when it's cold outside, you buy yourself a grill pan, okay? If you want to get those little hatch marks and stuff, like make your food look really presentable. And you can literally pretend that your grill outside is inside. And you can put anything that you would put outside inside. So there's always a methodology that you can use to enhance flavors. I don't really recommend it a lot, but there's this thing called liquid smoke. So if you add just a little drop to, a stew, you can give it a little smoky flavor. Okay, you don't have to go overboard on it because a little drop will do you very well. So again, there's so many things that you can play with. And again, I'm gonna backtrack and say to you at this point, let your imagination run wild because that's the way you actually learn, and that's the best way to actually practice.
I agree. Yeah, if you make something and you don't like it, just don't make it again, or just find a way to improve it the next time. And I know a lot of people, they're not confident in the kitchen because they've tried doing something before. It didn't work out. They don't want to waste their time. They don't want to waste their money again, but just try again.
Oh yeah. Home runs. Nobody hits a home run every time they get up to bat. All right. Baseball is a great example of life. 30%, you're going to the Hall of Fame. Okay. So you are going to fail 7 times. All right. 30%. You're going to be quite all right. For me, my wife said, don't talk about math. You're not very good at it.
okay, Chef Rob. Neither am I.
Don't worry. So that's why I have her. You know, I keep her around.
We kind of talked about this already, but like, what are some other ways that people can reduce food waste? By the way, everybody who's watching on Instagram, we may cut out here. So if we do, there's a link in my bio that takes us to YouTube. LinkedIn only gives us an hour here. We may go slightly over. So if we do cut out, there's a link in my bio that'll take us to the YouTube feed. It's an Instagram thing. What are some, because you already talked about some things to reduce food waste, but what are some other things people can do? I like the fact that you talked about, making your grinding up, onions and making powder and all this other stuff. What are some other things that people can do to reduce food waste?
Again, it really boils down to the prepping, okay? And knowing what is going to be your edible portion, what you can actually use now, because there is going to be waste in a lot of things that you naturally that occurs. So I was doing something the other day with chicken thighs. I trimmed off all the fat and then I rendered that fat out and I made this liquid gold, which is now called like a chicken tallow, but it's just like chicken fat that you can now use to pan sear a piece of chicken with, or you can turn it into a velouté and turn it into a soup or a sauce. So there's so many things that if you just utilize and say, what can I repurpose this for? Because the main thing is the main thing, But there's always an offshoot going here or there that you can actually, if you're using a little bit of forethought and foresight, you can utilize it and repurpose it somewhere else. So that's kind of how I reduce some of my food waste.
Yeah, I love that. Rob has a lot of great videos, so make sure that you follow him on Instagram. He has a lot of videos talking about a lot of these things that he's talking about in terms of food, reducing your food waste. What about you, Trudy? What are some tips that you have?
I would say make sure you take a look in your fridge and your pantry before you even go to the grocery store, because a lot of times people go to the grocery store without a list. And then when they get there, they end up buying duplicates of things they already have in their pantry, already have in their fridge. So I would say, you know, look in your fridge first, even take a couple pictures if you need to, look in your pantry, maybe snap a couple pictures so that when you get to the grocery store, you're not buying another can of beans when you already have like two or three in the cupboard because you said you were going to use them to make something and then you didn't. So I would say that. I would also say, like, you know, we talked about rice earlier, and you know, Rob was saying that people throw out rice after like a day. Like, don't do that. Like, nobody, please don't do that. Like, if you see that your rice is about to go bad, maybe it's day two and you know you're not going to use it, freeze it, right? So again, it's just like storing those foods in the proper way, just in case you're not able to just, you know, eat up all of those things.
Yeah, and get off TikTok, because if that's the people who told you to throw your rice away after.
Right?
Yeah, right. That's not right.
No,
those are great tips. I definitely think that those are great tips to kind of reduce food waste. And I think, being creative, like, what are some other things that you can do? Like, what can you do with orange peels? And what can you do with, you know, leftover broccoli tips? Like, again, the internet is a great tool and resource. And sometimes we just have to take advantage of that, so you're not throwing things out. And finding other creative ways. And I'm sure both of you would agree, if worst comes to worst, taking all of those leftover ingredients and just throwing them in a soup or a stew. You usually never go wrong with leftover vegetables and beans and whatever, and just throwing it in a stew. You usually don't go wrong with that.
Make a soup out of it, because again, vegetable soup, again, remember, you, someone alluded to earlier that plant-based people, I know they exist. So let's bring them into the conversation and say, you know what? Yeah, there are things that we can utilize. The other day I was making my classical sort of tomato sauce. So, you know, my mother-in-law gave me the recipe and I was using it at work, but I was coring the tomatoes and I had all these tops of tomatoes. I'm like, wow, well, Jesus, what am I going to do with this? I either, you know, in the old days, you know, just toss it, you know, I put them into that 200 degree oven. I left them for 7 hours while I was working, turned off the oven, went home, came back. They were all dehydrated. I will post that picture. As soon as I finish here, I'll show you that magical dust that I made out of it. And again, if you're doing a little salad and you want to sprinkle a little bit of that, it's now a fortification now. So you have the natural tomato and then you have a tomato dust on top. So you're now fortifying flavors. You're changing the complexion. You're changing the dynamics of what you're having. So again, it's just your imagination. If you are limited in that perspective, then obviously you're going to hurt. But if you let it run wild, you can play. And I will post that as soon as I hang up here. I'm not doing it right now, but I'm going to post it. I'll show you.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Vantage Point said, best before dates have been debunked as grocery market ploys. Should we always throw out food because of expiry dates? Should we kind of hang on? Or what do you think?
I mean, it's a tough one, but I mean, this is not, I don't know, like, just bear with me here. I do the sniff test, okay? So let's say I got sour cream in my fridge and I'm going to make fajitas or something, I don't know. And I look at it and the expiration date, it's like maybe 2 days past the expiration date. I open it up. I don't see any mold on the top. There's nothing walking around or growing on it. Maybe I'll just do a sniff test, just see how it smells. If it still smells okay, then I'll use it. But again, don't take this as advice. Like, this is just a disclaimer. Do not take this as advice. If it passes that sniff test, it's a couple days past the expiry, I personally will still use it. You can do whatever you want to do, but I personally will use it. But you know, there are certain items that, I don't even know if I should go down this road, but there are certain items that, you know, are made with emulsifiers. So emulsifiers are additives that make foods like appear, it improves like the appearance and the texture of food. So it makes the foods more creamy, more palatable. Yeah, it's like a binder, right? So a lot of food companies will put these emulsifiers in certain products also so that they stay on the shelf for longer periods of time. Like coffee creamers is a great example of that. I didn't want to say the name, but coffee creamers are a good example of that. Salad dressings are also a really great example of that as well. So I am always worried about certain food products like that, that I know there's emulsifiers in them that are primarily to keep foods on the shelf for a longer period of time.
What do you think about that, Rob, about expiration dates and, you know, using food after it's expired?
I saw your mom pop up here, so I was just about to say, Mom, close your ears. It's bullshit. I can't help it. I'm sorry, Mom. It doesn't matter. But again, it is a ploy. It is a marketing ploy. And again, Trudy, you said it eloquently that there are things out there that you do have to really pay attention to. So the emulsifier, those, remember all that plant-based stuff that doesn't last forever either. Okay. Yeah. All beyond meat and beyond this and beyond that. That doesn't last forever either. So again, proper storage. But if your milk is 2 days, 3 days, you're good. And if you, if it's a week, so you've gone away on a vacation, you come back, it's a week. All right. As you said, smell test. I'm not going to drink this, but you know what? I'll make some mozzarella cheese. So I'm going to add some rennets. I'm going to add some citric acid. I'm going to bring that to a boil. I'm going to make a curdle. I'm going to take it off the heat. I'm going to put it into a colander with a cheesecloth, and I'm going to strain it. And then I'm going to play with it. I'm going to stretch it in its own way. So again, you could now take that old milk and turn it into cheese. You can make cottage cheese. You can make ricotta, you can make mozzarella. So again, there's so many things that if you just, again, I'm being a broken record here, but if you use your imagination, and again, everybody has opposable thumbs, us and Raccoon, mm-hmm. Google it.
Yeah. And I would think they'd say things like, obviously, like canned goods. I mean, canned goods have almost a really extensive shelf life. I would say things like even like bread, like if your bread starts to go moldy, cut it up and make croutons or,
stop with the mold.
No, not the mold part. Sorry, cut the mold off.
Penicillin. We're in the 21st century now. That's penicillin. You know, go to the doctor, man. Go to the doctor. Okay.
But I think that's a great question. I think that's a really great question about, expiration dates on foods. And I think, again, as we're trying to stretch our grocery dollars and we're trying to figure out ways to make our money stretch for our families, again, pay attention to those things. That was a really good question. I think pay attention to what's in your pantry as well. I don't know how many times I've gone to the grocery store and bought things that I didn't need. And I think it's really important that, like Trudy said, don't go to the grocery store hungry and make a list before you go. You know, those are the two things.
Mom's asking a question. So do you shop once a week? Yes. This is your mama. Miss Stone.
So
once a week is good enough. But again, it depends on my work week. Most of us have super busy, busy lives. I'm lucky that my last two kids are in university, so they are not here. But when the kids are home, that means a lot more shopping, a lot more of heading to the grocery store. So sometimes it's twice a week, depending, But for the main items, the proteins and the things, the high cost, high value items, maybe once or twice a month.
Yeah. Same.
The staples that you need to go, and like you said, I'm not going to buy bread and put it in the freezer. That's a waste of space. So, you can go out and buy bread as you need it, right? If I want to get a baguette or if I want to do a ciabatta buns and I love to make bread as well, but, even hard dough bread I love making. But again, you just play around. Like, again, I'm lucky. I'm the luckiest one out of all of us here because, there's nothing under the sun that I can't learn to make if I don't know how to make it already.
Right. No, that's great. Trudy, what about you? How often do we do grocery shopping?
You don't know?
Thank you. We
this is for the people. This isn't for me. This is for the people.
How often?
You don't know.
Ain't no we and me. So I go grocery shopping, like Chef Rob said, about twice a month I'll do a bigger grocery shop. So like the meats and like the, all the canned stuff or whatever. But then yeah, like probably once a week for like the produce stuff. And then you're pretty good at that, I will say. So Danny will help me with the once a week stuff. Like he likes to go on long walks. So he'll take a walk to the grocery store, and the closest grocery store is like what, a 20-25 minute walk. So he'll walk to the grocery store and he'll get like all the produce, like maybe like on a Saturday or something like that. So usually that's you know, that's how Danny pitches in.
Okay. We're the same.
It is a team effort.
I'm not allowed to go to the grocery store. Number one, people follow me around. Next thing I know, I'm offering advice. I don't want to offer. My wife does everything, even though she's in earshot. This is true. She does the shopping. I help unload the car. But I do put in my list. Okay? So that's my contribution.
No, I think that's great. And so, you know, Trudy, you talk a lot about eating healthy. Like, what are some other tips that you have to help people eat healthy, like on a budget? What are some other tips that you may have
for eating healthy on a budget?
Yeah.
That we haven't already talked about. I don't know. I don't know. I'm stuck here.
Rob,
Again, we have discussed this ad nauseum at this point because again, we've said that with our pantry, we should always go in with staples of rice, pasta, and a noodle, which again, Asian noodles, wonderful ways to just again, where you can pour boiling water over something like a ramen, and have it cook quickly, or pop it into the microwave, God forbid, but you pop it into the microwave and you're eating in less than 10 minutes. There are things out there that are can be utilized, and again, it really boils down to what's your flavor profiles. What are the things that you really enjoy eating? Don't kill yourself with eating it all the time. But again, start building on those slowly. Just add another ingredient. I mean, perfect example is my youngest is 22. And my twin brother, she would go over to his house on the weekends, just to hang out with his two girls and my other older daughter. And he would always say, you know what, your dad's a chef, And she was a picky eater, man. She wouldn't eat. I'm telling you, man, I would be in the kitchen for hours. Voila. Here you go, honey. Spit it out. You know how hard that is for a chef, like your own flesh and blood. That's not cutting it. So I have to deal with that, right? And my twin does not cook at all. They're ordering out. But again, she was able to try new things. And it's really an indoctrination. You got to start slowly with different styles of cuisines, because Turkish cuisine, Egyptian cuisine, go through Mongolia. Like you can do a tour of the world in Toronto. And that's one thing that you can say about the multiculturalness of Canada, and especially of Toronto. You can find anything from anywhere in the world if you just go to a food court, much less, go to a grocery store where you go down these aisles. Remember, you should shop all the way around and then matriculate slowly through the middle aisles, because that's where all the processed food is, okay?
Right.
And we touched on it quickly, but I'd like to go back to this organic thing.
Right. Yeah.
Tell your mom again. We'll cover here. Bullshit. Okay. Because why are you telling people that if you don't eat organic, then you're not eating healthy?
That's right.
And this GMO, Monsanto, and all these the evil empires out there. Technically, if an organic farm is here, Monsanto is here, the wind blows this way, you are no longer organic because you can't control the wind. Okay, so it is generally a misnomer to say to people that this is the only application that it's organic and it must be. Yes, you have to follow these rules, but you don't control the sun and you don't control the wind. For me, 5-pound bag of onions. Back in my day, $5 for, a 1 pound. Now, $20 for organic for the same. So you tell me, how healthy do you really want to eat? there really is some trade-offs here. I really do believe that people have to say to themselves, and I've taught them for many, many years, they're only organic, but they live in Rosedale. They live in, you know, Thornhill. They live in all these ivory tower places. Again, you can do that when you have the money to do that. But what if you are off that budget now? Now we come back to the $10 guy. You're too low. Those guys are too high. But the rest of us here, you know, we have to figure out how we're going to stretch our dollar and incorporate as much healthiness as we possibly can. Farmers markets are great as well. Like there are places that you can go if you have the time to do this. But if you don't have the time to cook, you're not going to have the time to shop like that either.
Right.
So again, go ahead. Good.
No, I was going to say, I love farmers markets in the summertime. It's one of my favorite things to do in the city because it's like, not only am I getting like exercise because I'm walking around this farmers market, it's just like a nice way to spend, you know, a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon. You also get to know the people that are actually growing your food. You know, you're more likely to buy produce that's not been sprayed with a whole bunch of pesticides on them. And sometimes what I do in the farmers market is like maybe in like July or like August, I'll buy up a whole bunch of stuff and then I'll freeze it, right? Not bell peppers though, but
and then I'll freeze it, right?
Freeze it
at the peak of its perfection, okay?
Right.
And that's what everywhere does. Even with fish, they flash freeze it out at sea. So it comes in and when it thaws, now you can say, oh, this is fresh. No, the peak of perfection, peaches in cans and in bottles are great, man. You know, when you find a real peach in the middle of the summertime, it's wonderful. But
tell me about it.
Talk about October. Talk about November. Talk about all the rest of those months that end in nasty names, okay? Yeah. We have to live in that. We live in that environment. We know it's for 6 months here. Well, not this year, but you know what I
mean. I would also say, before I get to you, Trudy, I would also say, you know, going to the grocery store later in the week, because they often mark down, you know, vegetables, like you can get packs of, you'll see 30% off or 40% off of meat and vegetables. It's still good, but they know that, you know, that these are things that do have a shelf life, whether it's vegetable or meat. So sometimes later in the week, like on a Thursday or, you know, a Friday or Wednesday or something like that, you may see 30% off of, you know, different foods. So that's another good tip too. Like,
great tip.
Yeah.
Figuring out when and paying attention when you go to the grocery store, and if you go on different days, or even ask, you know, ask someone who works there, say, hey, what days do you guys kind of put your meats and your vegetables and all that on? Just ask them. And then that might be a day because you can save a substantial amount of money. I've seen 40% off a vegetable, you know, a can of peppers or some fruit because it's going bad, or some even meat.
Yeah.
40% is a lot, right? So figuring out the days that you can go to get those discounts on the food, I think that's a great tip as well.
Well, even like the perfectly imperfect produce. So I was in the freezer section. I was going to buy some frozen blueberries, right? For my smoothies. I always like to make, you know, blueberry smoothies. Anyways, I'm buying the smoothie or the fruit. And then I see there's one bag of blueberries that's like $4.99, and there's another bag that's $2. And I'm like, why is this so much cheaper? It's because the ones that are $2, they're called naturally imperfect. So I guess they have like little dings on them, or who cares? It's going in my smoothie. Nobody's seeing it. Are you kidding me? So from now on, I've been buying those perfectly imperfect ones because it's like, you know, cutting my grocery bill in half.
But blemishes are, you know, we eat with our eyes. And again, living in the part of the world, we are so visual in terms of, you know, that blemish. Oh my God, you know, and you know, if your tomato is going to go off, okay, so it has a little, it's a little soft, and you cut around it, you can utilize it, okay, unless there's mold, you can cut around it and use it. Right. So I would always recommend, if you can get a deal on something, you know, some of the greatest chefs in this city, and I'm going to give you a dirty secret, but I won't give you the name, but if you figure it out, you figure it out. They go to the food terminal and they literally look for seconds, okay? Seconds cannot be sold as first because they are now just starting to break themselves down, okay? Some of it. So a box of celery, okay? Top ones are good. The bottom ones they've been sitting there under pressure for a long period of time. They get a little bit of mush on them, but 3/4 of it is good.
Right.
Think about that. Now, you're telling me, and I'm talking, not no run-of-the-mill BS restaurant, talking great restaurants, use this and employ this tactic. So if they do, you should too. And it's not a slight or a flag, but it is what it is out there. Because if you need to cut a corner, if my produce bills this full week at work, well over $700 just for limited product that I had to get. Mm. Limited. So if we want to make a profit, I got to shrink that back. I got to figure out a way to claw back. So, and that's what we should be doing in your natural home life anyways. You got to go out there and figure out where the deals are.
No, it's good. Vantage Point said, we're so disconnected from our food. Farmers markets help us reconnect. Paul Henry, he said, go 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. So I think he was talking about the grocery stores and maybe looking for the discount. So between 10 and 11 a.m. is what he was saying.
Yeah.
So Trudy, there is a lot of talk about organic and stuff like that. Are there certain things that we should, like, if people can afford to eat organic, does it make a difference? Are there certain foods that, maybe we should eat organic if we are able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things that I personally like to purchase organic. And I don't know if you guys have heard this. There's like this list put out by the Environmental Working Group every single year. It's this list called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And the whole idea behind this list is that, there's 12 foods that are sprayed heavily with, pesticides and that sort of thing. And then there's the Clean 15, the ones who are more conventionally grown produce. So I typically kind of prioritize buying organic according to that list, but not like word for word. The two things that I like to purchase organic are leafy greens, so like spinach and strawberries. Those are the two ones that I like to purchase organic. And I say leafy greens because I eat leafy greens every single day. So that's the one that I like to purchase organic. And also, like, if you look at bananas, like, some people will buy organic bananas. I personally feel that's a waste of money because the banana has a thick skin on the outside. So the pesticides aren't necessarily getting in. Same thing with avocados. So if you look at things with like a thicker skin, I feel like you don't need to buy those ones organic. But if you look at things that have like a thin skin or no protective, skin at all, then I would go organic. That's what I would say about that.
That's a good, that's a good principle to follow. But again, even with those, you got to bring them home. You've got to, especially organic, you've got to clean it, wash it.
Oh, of course.
Dry it properly because, I've seen people in the grocery store.
Oh, no, no.
You've heard of E. coli before, right? Your nice little spinach smoothie that you're going to have and you haven't washed that? Wash it, okay?
Exactly. People eat grapes. They'll eat grapes. No judgment if you do this. Being grapes. You don't know what the guy was putting the grapes there. You don't know what he was doing with his hands before he put the grapes there. Like, come on now. Gotta stop doing that.
It didn't kill us. Back in the 70s at Knob Hill Farms at Lansdowne and Dundas, we were in there like Caligula. Oh. I'm still here, all right, people. I'm still here.
I can't do it.
Lovemore said, unfortunately, there's nothing organic. Victory Speaks said, so let's talk about cleaning fruits and vegetables. What's your best advice for cleaning fruits and vegetables?
For me, bring them home, soak them, a little bit of vinegar in the water, a little baking soda, bicarbonate. Again, just let it sit for a while, rinse them off generally, towel dry them or make sure you paper towel them and then put them away. Because you put them anything away wet, it's just going to mold and rot on you very quickly. Okay, so that's my perspective on it.
I would say same. I think the only exception would be mushrooms, because I know people that like they run mushrooms under the sink and they just drench it with water. I don't know how you do it, Chef Rob. Okay.
No, you can't.
Yeah, because it's gonna ruin the texture of your mushrooms. So,
but again, just a quick rinse. If you put them in and out quickly, again, because I know the mentality of a lot of people. Okay. I'm gonna mention something next after the mushroom is like, do you wash your chicken? Let's see the comments go off now.
It's a big debate.
it's a huge debate, okay? I have 111,000 people who hate me on TikTok because of it. Because it is a principle, especially in West Indian households, where you bring it home, you run it underwater, lemon, lime, salt, and you literally give that thing a good scrubbing. Because again, and I've read the almost 111,000 comments. I read it was 80,000 a couple months ago, but it keeps it's the gift that keeps on giving, that stupid comment. But again, they say, oh, it takes away that raw flavor and that taste. But who the hell is eating raw chicken? Yeah. That's what I want to know. You tell me.
Hey, if it tastes raw, we got a whole other problem.
You know, smell is not taste, and taste is not smell. But again, you know, I've listened to them. Listen, my mother, 91 years old, still alive. Father's 91, still alive. I can never, ever stop her from doing that. Okay, never. And I'm still here. I'm still here. But again, yeah. I know the science behind why I say what I say. And again, if your chicken is slimy, no amount of rinsing is going to help you stop that bacteria from killing you, because salmonella is there, okay? And that salmonella is not present just in smell. It has to be killed by 165, 170 degrees Fahrenheit internal temperature before salmonella will die. Okay, so that's a cooking method and methodology. So again, if it's a little pink, but you've tested it, you know it's safe to consume. Now, yeah, I try to give a yard man some pink chicken. Might as well. I'm sorry if we have mixed company here, but it is not going to.
Oh my God. Okay. So Chef Rob, I got to clarify for everybody in the comments, because I know people are going to ask this. So are you saying you do not wash chicken? No, I do not.
Everybody in the comments is like, wash your chicken, wash chicken, wash
your meat. Yeah, I don't know.
Listen, bring it on. Yeah. Bring it on.
You know what? Okay, you might be right. Washing chicken might not do anything. But for me personally, I don't know. I just like the peace of mind of washing my chicken.
I get it. But again,
it makes me feel like I've done something.
Think about a black light now being presented in your kitchen, in the and infrared. So you now wash. If it splashes on you, or splashes on your faucet, or if it splashes on your roof or your sink or wherever, all of that needs to be now deep cleaned, okay? You can clean your sink as much as you want, but you're really not eliminating what the true factor here is, that you're creating more room for your salmonella to spread around your kitchen than you are by alleviating the whatever you say you're trying to get rid of. You're not. Wow. I get it. I had 111,000 people tell me,
I bet,
I'm terrible. I'm going to,
I bet you did.
I'm going to die a bad death, but it won't be from salmonella people.
Wow, okay. This is good.
Oh, man.
No, this is, you know,
and I'm about to leave another comment on that post.
100,001 comment. Trudy's one.
But basically, the responses were all two words anyway.
Yeah. So before we have to wrap up, any final questions anybody has, please type out your final questions. But any final tips that either of you have around eating healthy on a budget, stretching your food? We talked about a lot of things here. You know, definitely make sure that you go back and watch this replay, because there was a lot of really great tips that are going to help you to eat healthier, save time in the kitchen, stretch your food costs, reduce food waste. So make sure that you go back and watch this. But any final kind of comments that you want to leave people with?
Yeah, I would say it is possible to eat healthy on a budget. But, you know, like Chef Rob said a few times tonight, it's just, it really comes down to planning ahead, right? If you plan ahead, then you'll be more armed in the grocery store, you know, even before you leave your house. If you're checking your pantry to see what you have in there, checking your fridge to see what you have in there, using apps like Flip. Again, I'm not affiliated with them. I probably should be. I talk about them so much, but using apps like Flip to look up flyers and just seeing what's on sale. Even if you're at the grocery store and the other grocery store has chicken on sale, you don't have to drive over there. You just got to show that app to the cashier and be like, yo, they have chicken over there that's $2 cheaper than you guys have here. Are you going to price match this for me? Right. So it's just planning ahead, just being just a little bit craftier, and it's possible.
I agree with
that. And Trudy, you have a guide. What's the guide you have, Trudy?
It's called Eat Cheap. When is it called again? Eat Cheap, Live Good. So basically, this is a 7-day meal plan I put together that has like affordable, nutritious meals that's accessible to everybody.
I love that.
Nicole, I don't talk about it nearly enough.
She says she's looking forward to your cookbook, Trudy. Nicole, by the way, Rob has a cookbook out. Rob, what's the name of your cookbook?
It's called Born to Grill. It's been out for a while, but again, pick it up at Amazon online, $29.95. It is what it is. If you come to my Instagram, I'm selling nothing, people. I'm as real as it gets. This is my real life, and I will not compromise in my approach. Because I am what I am. I've gotten to 57 years of my life being Rob. I'm going to continue to be Rob. He's an asshole, but again, I like him.
I'm looking at the comments. They said you're a hometown hero. That's hometown what Vantage Point said. Hometown hero.
Listen, everybody. Let me just take a second here because as we're starting to wrap up, hope that you all got some value in this conversation. I'm just going to play a little clip here. Let me know if you guys can see this. So we had a little Trudy there. And then this is... There we go. So that's a little bit of what go. Make sure that you follow both of them on Instagram. Please give them your Instagrams how they can follow you both.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have it here. It's at, let me see. I think I put it. It's at Chef Rob Rainford. I believe at Chef Rob Rainford.
There you go, man.
Make sure you follow him. Make sure that you follow Trudy. Trudy is at Trudy E. Stone on Instagram. And I am at I am Danny Stone. So everybody, listen, Rob, thank you so much. Trudy, thank you so much. It's been fun. Yeah, I think this is a something that I want to continue because a lot of the Grind and Gratitude show is really about helping people to take their life and their business to another level. And I find that a big part of that that is ignored is that we don't talk about our health. We don't talk about eating what we're eating. And so if you want to have the energy that you need to go after your goals, you need to be conscious of what you're putting into your body. And so, this Budget Bites was just a segment that, I spoke to Trudy and I spoke to Rob and we just decided to kind of put this together, but it might be something that we might continue. We might continue to have these conversations and bring in different chefs and people in the food industry. But I hope there was some takeaways for you. And I hope that you're more conscious about how you're spending your money on your groceries, what you're putting into your mouth, what you have in your pantries and your kitchens, and how you can stretch, your food and grocery dollars so that you can feed your family and you keep more of that money in your pocket. So thank you all for being here. Thank you to everybody on Instagram. Instagram was on fire. Thank you to everybody who was on YouTube. Thank you to everybody who's watching on LinkedIn. Again, this was my very first Grind and Gratitude show live. And it was pretty cool. I think we'll continue to do more of these. So thank you so much for being here. And that is it for us. We're signing up. Take care.
Ciao.
Hi.
Take care, guys.